Are you ready for the sound experience of a lifetime? Are you ready for crystal clarity in sonic bliss? Are you ready for CKUT? We're ready for you. 90.3 on your FM dial.
De CKUT 90.3 à Montréal.
Ok, oh, merci beaucoup.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is ongoing throughout Quebec. The combined effect of two doses ensures better efficacy of the vaccine, reducing the risk of getting and transmitting the virus. You'll also stay protected for a longer period of time. Coming to your appointment for the second dose of the vaccine is a must, whatever else is on your schedule. The second dose of vaccine is essential. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Zion.
Unsure what the balance held, I touched my belly, overwhelmed by what I had been chosen to perform. But then an angel came one day, told me to kneel down and pray, for unto me a man child would be born. Oh, this crazy circumstance, I knew his life deserved a chance. But everybody told me to be smart. Look at your career, they said, Lauren, baby, use your head. But instead I chose to use my heart. Now the joy of my world is in Zion. Zion's door. I've never been in love like this before. Now let me pray to keep you from the perils that will surely come. See, life for you, my prince, has just begun. And I thank you for choosing me to come through on your life to be a beautiful reflection of his grace. See, I know that.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I'm on the air with...
Renee Jordan.
And we have on the air with us an old friend to both of us, and health practitioner, massotherapist, used to work at Dawson College, where I met you, and is now in your... You have your own clinic in a gym, in a CrossFit gym. Yeah.
Not CrossFit.
But in a gym, fitness gym. Her name is Michelle Beckles. Michelle, thank you so much for coming on the air and talking to us.
Thank you Thank you especially, for having me.
Especially during these crazy times. We thought that it's important to speak about health and wellness and fitness and stuff like that. And since you are in that field, we wanted to get your perspective on all of that. But before we get into the health part of it, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, Michelle Beckles. So I am a certified athletic therapist and certified Swedish massage therapist. I kind of blend both of my practices together throughout all of my treatments. I've done quite a lot of stuff. I've worked in a lot of different locations, Dawson being the longest and the most intense job that I had. I was there for roughly 13 years. I was the head athletic therapist of the Dawson Athletic Therapy Clinic. I was basically running the athletic therapy team for 15 to 22 teams per year. So roughly 300 to 400 athletes with 10 to 12 interns from Concordia University. With two other certified therapists, so it was busy. I was also running the private clinic at that side and helping out in the Dawson community with different events that they were holding. I've worked with Quebec soccer, I've worked with Quebec football, I worked with Canada soccer, had the opportunity to travel all over Canada, across the world. It's been an amazing and very humbling experience. So I'm very, very grateful for all the opportunities. And now, because of COVID, on to other projects. But
right.
We'll speak more about that.
So what made you decide to get in the field of therapy, specifically athletic therapy?
Well, it dates back to when I was 13 years old. So for those who know me, know that I'm avid into sports. I've always been involved in sports. Soccer and ringette were my two main sports that I played while growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically when I was 13, playing in a soccer tournament, I got injured, sprained my ankle, and this magical person came to me on a cart and carted me off the field and brought me to this tent and taped my ankle so that I could play the next game. And my mind was completely blown. I told my mom at the tournament, I was like, Mom, that's what I want to do. I don't know who that is, but that's what I want to do. And I think for the longest time, I always thought that it was physiotherapy, not realizing that they were actually athletic therapists.
Right.
So when I went to Dawson, played soccer there, that's when I realized that it was athletic therapy that I really wanted to be in, since I was in the clinic all the time getting treated for injuries.
Right.
So that's how I got into it.
Okay. Renee?
Michelle, you don't only treat people who are athletes. So just for the other people who are out there, and there might be some people who think, okay, she's talking about people who are into sports, who play track or soccer or things like that. But you don't only help those people alone. Your practice is sort of opened up to other people because we are all physically active in some ways or not. So
yes, so I'll expand on that a bit more. Basically, as an athletic therapist, I could treat anybody who's physically active, whether they are doing yoga class once a week, going on walks, maybe going on hikes, or perhaps spinning, as some people do. We can take care of anybody who's doing any form of physical activity. Our main goal is to bring them back to their activity and not just bring them back to their regular daily activities, which is, you know, getting up out of bed or going inside the shower or walking to work or doing their functional activities at work. So it's really making sure that they're able to achieve the same goals that they were achieving pre-injury. The other part of it is prevention, and the other part of it is emergency care. So with the prevention, I also help a lot of people. Maybe the people who don't specifically have an injury, but they come back to see me maybe once a month, just for what I call tune-ups. So say, for instance, they have a slight irritation when they're doing a kick in kickboxing, then I can help them with maybe if their hip is off or their knee is off or if something isn't placed properly so that they can go back to their activity.
I know over time, I've seen you a couple of times during my CrossFit days, and also from just general working out in the gym. Like, we don't really realize it, and sometimes we often don't take time to stretch out every muscle that we should be stretching out as we work out. And some of the things that you do in the clinic actually help with that. What are some of those things?
So some of those things is breaking down, for instance, what's your prep for going into the activity? Are you doing a proper warm-up? Are you doing dynamic stretching? Or are you doing the static stretching like we were taught to do back in the day, which isn't actually good for you? It could actually hurt you. So it's making sure that you're approaching the activity in the right way. So making sure that we break down the movements and doing the proper movements, possibly maybe correcting the technique. Or sometimes it could be strengthening a specific muscle. Most of the time it's the glutes that people get a bit of weakness in. So it's making sure that your glutes aren't weak and that all of the muscles are working really well together and your body is in harmony.
And we speak of static stretching or dynamic stretching, just to put people in sort of a framework for it, for those general things. In the summertime, we're doing yard work, mowing the lawn, pushing that lawnmower, or cutting weeds. And in the wintertime, we're shoveling snow. What should people be doing before they attempt these activities? Or can they just jump up and go outside and just start doing them?
So when I mention dynamic stretching to people, it's making sure that you're looking at the movements that you're going to be doing while doing that specific activity. So say, for instance, it's lawn mowing, then yes, you're pushing something, but you want to make sure that your legs are ready to move. So maybe doing some quick high knees or kicking your heel towards your bum, just to get your quads and your hamstrings a little activated, not even a little activated, just activated so that they're ready to contract. For instance, something that I always send out a public service announcement to a group that I'm in during the winter. Shoveling, it's a workout. Take it as a workout. Don't always shovel to one side. Maybe do shovel three times on the left and then shovel three times on the right. For instance, making sure that you're doing the right technique. Don't pick up the snow and then rotate your body and throw the snow. You have to stop and break down those movements. So for me, and what we do as athletic therapists, is really breaking down those movements and making sure that people have the proper technique. And preparing for those movements by doing dynamic stretching or doing a warm up.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you say do three on one side and then three on the other side, because where I'm currently working for my, we'll say, quote unquote, day job, there's a lot of lifting boxes, different sizes and stuff like that, and like, even if there's smaller boxes, so sometimes we work in chutes and we're throwing stuff into large crates, sometimes I'm working from the left to the right, so just taking things and just throwing it, and just in my mind, I'm like, I need to balance this out and go the other side and switch it, because I don't want one side to become, like, really, really strong, quote-unquote, and then the other side is just, bleh. So yeah, I try and balance myself out a lot when it is, and then just simple things like bending your knees instead of your hips, hinging your hip and your back to pick stuff up makes a world of difference, because you feel the strain when, like, you're pulling from your back versus when you just squat a little bit and just flex your arms, hold it, and just lift with your legs. It's a whole world of difference.
And let's be honest, we are not getting any younger.
No, we're not.
Our bodies are starting to age.
For yourself.
We might still look young and beautiful, but our joints aren't. So it's funny. I actually found that once I turned 30, that's when all of my friends started calling me for treatments.
Right.
Because everyone was like, hey, my knees aren't moving like they used to. My back is starting, my shoulder, like, what's happening? And it's because we do regular movements, but we keep doing them on the same side. We don't balance things out. So if you look at some of those repetitive movements as a workout, then you can start to, you know, do three on one side, three on the other, or five and five, whatever it is, whatever number makes you happy. Maybe put on a little soca, and, you know, you're good. You have a workout.
Yeah. So we're hopefully at the end of a pandemic. How has that affected, how did it affect you last year, this time when it first started? Like, what happened?
Well, that was craziness. I think it was, just like for everyone else, it was a huge slap in the face of being like, what the heck is happening? What is actually happening? The tough part for me is that I've always found joy in my work. I'm passionate about my job. I love helping people. Yeah. And like, the virus took that away from me. I wasn't able to help people. I wasn't able to use my hands to fix people's problems and issues and talk to them while I'm doing that. So I realized how much my job was important to me and how much joy it brought me. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely difficult.
Yeah.
Coupled with, like, you know, personal things that are going on and that were insane. It was a lot. It was a lot to deal with. I definitely had to consider changing careers.
Wow.
And a lot of therapists actually did change careers. Most therapists actually ended up in insurance because it was, you know, a steady job and it was essential. So it was difficult. It was difficult trying to figure out what my future was going to be, if the world was going to end. But I was really grateful that we were allowed to start working again.
So what did you have to do? So, like, obviously the first thing is you had to stop.
Let's see.
Yeah. So basically for athletic therapy, we were considered essential.
Okay.
From the beginning, but it was only for people who were in emergency situations. So somebody who was post-op, which most operations were canceled.
Right.
Someone who was maybe in a car accident, which I don't take care of car accidents, physiotherapists do.
Right.
People who aren't able to walk. So I had one patient.
Wow.
For maybe 6 or 8 weeks where I would end up going to her place to treat her. The other tough thing is that for a lot of us working inside clinics that are inside a school, the schools were shut down, so we didn't have access to the clinics, so we had to do home visits.
Right.
So my job changed to home visits, and that's what I was doing for the majority of the time before I was able to get back into the clinic. And that was only as of June 1st that they declared massage therapy and athletic therapy possible for people in person.
This was 2020 or just this year?
This was 2020.
Okay.
So as of June 1st, 2020, they considered massage therapy and athletic therapy essential. Well, not even essential. I'll take that word back. They considered us okay, or we were allowed to see people in person.
Wow.
So it made things complicated because our work days were also changed. Mm-hmm. Hours had changed for clinics. You had to have 15 minutes between each patient. You couldn't see patients back to back. So it really changed the whole way we practice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have to keep up with those practices now, the 15 minutes between each patient and maybe some cleansing and some deep cleaning in between?
Yeah, so we definitely have to do the deep cleaning in between. The one thing that's changed is, for instance, we don't have to wear the visor anymore. We don't have to wear the goggles anymore. But in terms of the cleaning, that's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we're allowed to cut down the time, but this 15 minutes has actually been a blessing.
Okay.
It showed me that the amount of time that I was giving to my patient during their treatments it was rushed. It was rushed in the past. Like, I would treat people for 55 minutes instead of an hour so that at the last 5 minutes I can give them an update of what I thought of the treatment and do the payment and make the next appointment. And now I have time. Now I can relax and breathe. Maybe burn some sage in between, you know, like it's completely changed my mindset in terms of what I want my practice to be. But not for everyone. I don't think everyone is sticking to the 15 minutes.
Right. So there, for you, at the very least, there was a collateral benefit from having had these mandatory changes, which are now for you probably in practice. So now, instead of just taking, okay, I have first client at 11, next client at 12, da 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 da, you're like first client at 11:15, next client at 12:30, following client at 1:45. So you have more leeway to give the care, the type of care that you want to provide for your client.
Absolutely. And if I want to go over by 5 minutes with that person, I can. Whereas in the past, it would set me back for my whole day.
Right.
And I was constantly rushing. So again, while I was working at Dawson, it was a multifaceted job. So I was not only treating private patients, but I had athletes coming and asking me questions at the same time, all while I'm treating. I would have my student interns coming in asking me to show them something. So I'd take a pause from my patient, go and show them. It was a student clinic, so and my patients understood, but that everything completely changed.
Yeah.
The Dawson clinic will not be the same anymore. Well, A, because I'm not going to be there anymore. But we used to have like big conversations with whole teams inside that space about life, about everything. That can't be done anymore. You can't have that many people in the clinic anymore. So COVID's really changed our whole outlook on what the therapy setting will be. There's good and there's bad.
Yeah.
But I think I'm definitely taking certain pieces of it and keeping them so that I could, you know, A, make sure that no one gets COVID, which I'm actually really happy that none of my patients or myself have caught COVID while we were treating. It's definitely changed some stuff.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Michelle Beckles. She's a certified psychotherapist and Swedish natural therapist. We're going to take a quick break, pay some bills, play some music. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CEUT 90.3.
Fun. Tiny Whitey went with so long. Now she's I want a rumba. Come to me so bad. I want a
Bacchanal. I grew up as a real good girl, always home, don't go nowhere. As soon as I was introduced to carnival, they say I lose. All down on the ground, walking, walking up my bottom, and they dragging, dragging all over town, and they say I lose. It was never a party at my school bazaar I used to go, but since I was introduced to Bacchanal, they say I lose. When I drop it hot and I wind it on top the speaker box and I scream.
Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm on the air with
Renee Jordan.
And we have on the air with us Michelle Beckles, who is a certified athletic therapist and Swedish massotherapist that incorporates her work together. So the Swedish massotherapy and the athletic physical therapy in order to provide care for her clients. So that's physical care for clients that are physically active, not necessarily specifically athletic people, but people who want to get back to their level of activity, physical activity, whatever that activity is. Thanks again for joining us. So before the break, we were talking about how COVID kind of modified the way that you were doing things and actually kind of gave you a good practice by adding in 15 minutes in between clients. So that allowed you to like not rush each client, because before it was like you had an hour, and so you always want to have a moment of kind of giving an assessment of the therapy that you're providing. How come you feel the need to give like why do you provide that feedback?
The one thing that I pride myself on is that I like educating my patients. I like educating in general. So I feel like you'll have a better understanding of your injury a better understanding of your rehab, if you know how the body functions and why the body functions in a certain way, especially when it comes to muscles and ligaments and tendons and the bones. So if I don't take that time to teach you, like, okay, well, if you look at, say, range of motion, if you're not able to move your foot in that full position, then just keep moving it as far as you can without pain. Without pain will allow you to continue doing the movement. You won't lose your range of motion. And slowly but surely, every day, you'll start to increase that range of motion. So I think it's important to educate. I think we're at a time now where lots of people are educating themselves about different things. And when it comes to the body, you have to have a good understanding of how your body's working, or else you'll get sick, you'll get illnesses, you'll get injuries, and you won't understand why.
Mm-hmm. Or you just pop medication to make yourself feel better, and it numbs the pain, but it doesn't cure the problem at its source.
It's like a Band-Aid. It's really just a Band-Aid, and you don't actually...
But this is a Band-Aid over, like, a gaping wound. Not just a little cut.
So it's really important to understand why exercises are important. At the end of the day, the hands-on work that I do is only 20% of your healing. So that's why I don't, even for those who've seen me, they know that I don't like seeing people every week. I don't always like seeing people every 2 weeks. It really depends on your injury. It's really important that you understand why you're doing exercises, that you understand why you're putting heat or ice on your body. All of these different aspects so that you can be more proactive. And I also feel like that creates a loyal clientele. If I'm completely honest with people, then they're going to trust me to come back to me and ask me more questions. So I feel like that's part of my whole client care and treatment plan that I've always incorporated, and I've always taught my students to do the same.
Now, aside from the COVID changes to the clinic, now that you're no longer working within the Dawson Clinic, are there some new aspects that you've added to the type of therapy that you provide on the outside of this athletic setting?
Online treatments.
Okay.
Now, really?
I have always been resistant to change when it comes to technology and incorporating it in therapy. Obviously for massage therapy, there's no way that I can do massage virtually. That'd be really weird.
Right.
Maybe not yet.
Figure it out. Maybe there's some like 3D glove or whatever.
I think there might be something coming, but you know.
You might have to patent that, right?
Well, I mean, it does exist for other things, so I don't see why you can't sort of switch it up for this purpose.
Very true. You know what? You're onto something. Maybe another business. So online treatments is something that really came to fruition even further during the first lockdown. Everybody was talking about online treatments, online evaluations, having these protocols set in place. We have to get consent forms. And I was like, what are you guys talking about? I need to have my hands on these people so that I can feel the tissues. I can feel if there's heat. I can feel if there's swelling, like
a knot, even a knot.
Or if ribs are out of place.
Exactly. So there's so many different things that happen that I can feel with my hands. That I was like, how do I do this through Zoom? But what it's done for me now, and I've accepted, is that, you know, for the past 15 years, I've been treating people through text message.
That is true. I have sent you a text message or two.
Right? I get messages all the time from friends. I get from my past athletes, from my patients, like, hey, what do I do in this situation? And I honestly have no problem helping them through that. But with the online session, I was like, what if I do a consultation online first? And then if I have to continue that, I can tell them to come see me in person. And oh my goodness, I can make money that way. But it was something that it didn't even cross my mind before because I was so resistant to the idea of bringing technology in.
And the joke of it was you were already doing that. But because you had to formalize it now, it was like, I don't want to do this so formally.
Yes, exactly. That's like, you want me to create forms? Why? Take notes. But yeah, so I like now it's a third part of my practice. So I tell people, you know, if they have an injury, we can set up an online consultation so that we can discuss things, and it'll be more formal, more professional. I got my little ring light there, so my face is lit up nice. It pretty much just gives patients another platform, another way to reach me, another way for me to educate them. Mm-hmm. And really, after taking some courses, because there's been courses galore on this now over the past year for therapists, it's the education part that a lot of people are talking about. They're like, it's where we do the majority of our education. And that's a good thing. And that's not something to shy away from. So that's something that's changed. Another thing, online booking. I was so resistant to that before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, so you don't actually have to look at your book. The person can just sort of send and it's taken care of if there's a spot.
If they know what the link is, like I send them the link, they do it themselves, they put all their information. I'm like, it's that easy? Like that takes away all of this time that it took to just try to get things done, you know? Like there's all of these platforms out there and programs that are there to help us as professionals, and a lot of us are just scared to try it. So now I'm a bit more open to trying new things.
So let's say someone wanted to organize an online session. Yeah. What would they need, or what type of information should they be ready with to give you so that you can help them?
So the main thing for me that I always explain, and the same for an in-person treatment, is I need to see the body parts. So if it's your knee, please wear shorts. Don't wear pants, because then I can't see the skin. I can't see if there's any changes. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's really just knowing what your symptoms are. So what are you feeling? And I usually guide people through that when I'm asking taking my history questions. I will prompt them on different things. I will ask them different questions on, you know, the pain, the location, the timing, the quality of pain. There's a whole long list of stuff. So they don't really need to prepare anything other than allowing me to see that body part through the screen, really. That's all. And proper Wi-Fi or...
Yes, that's always...
Hey, are you there? Are you there?
Like... frozen for like 3 seconds, and yeah, we've had that kind of situation occur. I had a session with you recently, and I've seen you quite a bit over the years. Like before I moved away from downtown, I used to see you on a semi-regular basis. And one of the questions that I really, if you permit, that you added was about mental health. Because if I recall, like before, that was not really a part of the questioning, the questionnaire that you do with your clients. How come you integrated mental health into your questionnaire?
Am I allowed to swear on this?
No.
This past year has been horrible.
Right.
Which I can replace with many other words in the English language. I've noticed mainly through massage, I've noticed a lot is people coming in with stress taking over their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Tight. Their legs are tight, their feet are tight, their scalp is tight, their fingers,
their scalp.
Everything. Yep. Everything. Absolutely everything. And as both of you know, I'm not quiet during my treatments. I talk a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the times a lot of people are telling me about different life experiences, and I've always been aware of this over the past 15 years of my career, but it really came to came to light this year after COVID is, you know, how are you feeling? How are you dealing with COVID? What were the stresses that you had during this past year? Did you lose your job? Did you have your job? Were you stuck at home? Were you stuck at home with a kid? Like, there are so many different situations that I really want to give my patients the space to speak about it. And then also, if I could help them find a therapist, I'm there to help that. I love making connections, especially when my patients need different things, whatever it is. But for therapy, it's so important. And even myself, because I've spoken to a therapist, it's really, really important that we speak to someone. And especially after this year, I think everybody needs to talk to someone at some point, because it wasn't a typical year.
No.
Year and a half, whatever it is now, it wasn't typical. So yeah, and people, and I'm not here to kind of diminish the stress that one person had versus another. Everyone deals with stress differently. Everyone has different levels of stress that they have to deal with. So I just want to be that space that they can speak about what's going on.
And I think also for your athletes that were coming to see you for care, a lot of athletes, that's their outlet. Their outlet is their sport. Working out is their sport. And all those physical activities that we used to use as vehicles to, like, you know, let all of that out weren't there, you know, yeah, during COVID times, at the height of the pandemic. So even in terms of, like, now those injuries that they may have are now coupled with the tension that they may feel or that they may hold in their neck or in their back and come as knots and whatnot, are things that we will see or have been seen due, yeah, to COVID.
I think people underestimate the mind-body-soul connection.
Yes.
And again, like I said, it's something that I've always been aware of. And whenever I did have a patient in the past who was going through some stuff, I was able to guide them through that physically through therapy, through manual therapy. But this year has been extreme. And, you know, I feel for everyone who hasn't had, like, I know I haven't had my outlet. I haven't played soccer in over a year, and it's killing me. But for those student athletes who don't have that outlet, that's the reason that they're in school, they don't know what's going to happen in their future. Like, you know, even trying to get a game tape out is impossible now because you have no games that you played. So it's really difficult for everyone on different levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the muscles, you know, they do have a memory of doing certain things, of repeat motion. And part of their athletic training is, you know, they're doing it over and over so they get better at it.
Yeah.
And then the fact that they've been out of play for so long, you know, it does something within the body. And then sort of working to get back into that activity. Like, I find, like, I used to walk a lot during a day from place to place, there to there, giving classes here and here and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, you may have been one of those people who were lucky enough to keep that job at home, but all of a sudden, all you do all day is sit there in front of the computer. All your activities that you did from place to place are all in front of that computer. And I think that has an effect on the body, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And that's why I was saying I never diminish what anyone's stressors are, because everyone had a different stress to deal with. You had, yes, the people who were at home working long hours, like, their necks and their shoulders and their forearms are horrible because people also didn't stop working. They kept working throughout the day. They weren't taking breaks. They weren't, some people weren't even getting up to go to the bathroom. They, like, forgot about those things. All of those regular things that you would have, someone coming to your desk and saying, hey, let's go have lunch, they wouldn't. I had a lot of patients who just wouldn't eat throughout the day. So it's lots of different things have stressed people out this year. And yeah, any way that I could help, either through the massage or through just getting people active again, I was really happy that I was able to do that.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Michelle Beckles, who is an athletic therapist that incorporates her Swedish massage therapy as well to provide better care for her patients that are not only athletes, but also just people who want to get back to a regular physical level of activity, their regular physical level of activity. We do have to take a break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Just like a star across my sky, just like an angel off the page, you have appeared to my life. Feel like I'll never be the same. Just like a song in my heart, just like oil on my hands, only to love you. Still I wonder why it is I don't argue like this with anyone but you. We do it all the time, blowing out my mind. You got this look I can't describe. You made me feel
it's like the morning time, don't wanna wake up, I just wanna stay in bed. But if I'm next to you, I'm looking forward to just laying in this bed. Ooh, they never get so promise you'll never let go. I don't want no one else, so we should be chilling back. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So tell me that, tell me that, tell me I'm the best I am. I be feeling like yes I am, I am. You know I'm the best I am. Be a fool to not take me as I am. Tell me I'm the best I am. I be feeling like yes I am, I am. You know I'm the best I am. Yeah, you be a fool to not take me as I am. You're like
my favorite Lauren song, and I need you really bad. Don't take me for granted, you'll be regretting it. Oh, I should be your last, oh yeah. Ooh, that never gets old, promise you'll never let go. Grass ain't green nowhere else, so we should be chilling back. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So tell me that, tell me on the best diet. I'll be feeling like yes, I am. You know on the best diet. Be a fool and not take me as I am. Tell me on the best diet. I'll be feeling like yes, I am. You know on the best diet. You be a fool and not take me as I am.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is ongoing throughout Quebec. The combined effect of two doses ensures better efficacy of the vaccine, reducing the risk of getting and transmitting the virus. You'll also stay protected for a longer period of time. Coming to your appointment for the second dose of the vaccine is a must, whatever else is on your schedule. The second dose of vaccine is essential. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Funny how I finally flipped the script on ya. When you the one who's double dipping, yeah. You so sloppy how I caught you slipping, You're off the leash. Run me my keys. No more popping up the idiot. I ain't even got the miles to trip on ya. No phone.
Who is this?
Brand new. Like the whip. Rack it up. No assist. Main bitch, I ain't average. Wake up. Beat a zip. Hennessy. Take a sip. Look at my jeans. I'm too thick. I ain't got no room for extra baggage. Don't forget to come and pick up your feelings. Don't leave no pieces. You need to hurry and pick up your feelings. While I'm up cleaning. Boy, please. I don't need it. Memories. All that shit. You can keep it. Forget to come and pick up your feelings. Don't leave no pieces. I'm trying to find a fuck to give for ya. You ran out of chances of forgiving ya. Yeah, listen, I'm listening. Just for you to go and break my heart again. I learned my lesson last time. And I ain't coming. This is what you had now. And I bet you I look better, don't I? New phone.
Who is this?
Contact. Don't exist. Way too expensive, no more benefits. Upper visit, hands tied, no grit. I ain't got the room for extra baggage, so don't forget to come and pick up your feelings. Don't leave no pieces. You need to hurry and pick up your feelings. But you had your fun, but I had enough. Now I'm really done. I deserve so much more than you gave to me.
Yes, 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 we're back. It is Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson. I'm on the air with
Renee Jordan.
And we have on the air with us Michelle Beckles, who is an athletic therapist and a certified
Swedish massotherapist, and she incorporates the two in order to provide better care for her clients. And her clients are not only athletes, but anyone who wants to regain their own personal level of physical activity. So before the break, we were talking about mental health and how you found that it's, especially during this whole pandemic situation, lockdown, modification, complete modification of many, many people's just way of life, especially people who are not quote unquote considered essential workers. So like postal workers, nurses, doctors, stuff like that. Everybody else could sort of do their work from home or had to find another way to work. So there's been a lot of modifications, and you spoke about the fact that people who used to go into, say, an office situation were now sitting down behind their computers, no longer having social interactions at work, not even going to the washroom, not even eating sometimes, or eating badly, or what have you. How do you find that manifests different things in the body when it comes to, like, say, for example, just someone sitting down all day and not maybe getting up and going for a walk or what have you?
So, again, is that I want to kind of drive home the importance of that mind-body-soul connection, that whatever is going on in your mind will affect your body physically, will also affect your soul. It's knowing that if you're not moving enough, whatever's going on at work, whatever is going on family-wise, that stress kind of takes over the body. You tense up, your muscles tense up, maybe your organs stop moving, and then you'll get different illnesses. You'll either have some heart issues or some circulation issues or random swelling in a limb. Like there's so many different side effects, and people don't realize that it's because of stress. So that's why lots of times, actually, I've suggested to some patients, you know, like, maybe you should use that app called Calm, where you do some meditation, or the Headspace app, or again, speak to a therapist. And there's lots of therapists that are available online, just to deal with the emotional aspect of life, so that your body isn't taking on this, like as if literally a truck is hitting you. So it's a lot to juggle around, but I try to make my patients aware of that as often as possible, so that they know that it shouldn't happen again. You know, they have to be aware of their different triggers and know what to do.
That being said, people who are now getting up and going out into the world, maybe they're transitioning from being at home where they just sort of rolled over out of bed and walked a couple of steps and started to work, and now they're going to be back to commuting. So they're back from going maybe 300 steps a day to back to their 10,000 steps a day, or their children who did not have those activities are now going outside to be more active, or they were avid the gym shut down, and now they're getting back to the gym, you know, and they want to start back, you know, pumping hard like they used to. What would you say, or how would you guide them back into those regular everyday practices?
So first off, it's really important to speak to a professional. Either speak to us as athletic therapists, you can go see a personal trainer, or speak to a physiotherapist, but you have to speak to someone in order to get back into your activity. There were so many cases, and again, those text messages that I got, of people tearing and popping tendons last year, mm-hmm. because they went from not doing any physical activity for probably 5 to 6 months to then suddenly playing basketball and sprinting. And their bodies weren't ready. So things tore, things ruptured. They ended up having to have surgery. And guess who they had to see? Me.
Yeah.
So a big part of my job is prevention. And that's why I like to inform people, you know, and especially my patients first, I always ask them, how are you getting back into your activity? What's your game plan? How are we going to break this down? How can we slowly incorporate different activities different ideas into your activity so that when you get back to going 100%, your body doesn't break down and that you don't have to come see me every week. That's not what I want. I don't want people coming to see me every week. As much as I love everyone that I treat, it'll burst your bank account, right?
So yeah.
Part of my thing is again, educating people to be proactive in their healing and in their the prevention of injuries.
That I love that you said prevention. So my question is, like, someone who, say, for example, a teenager who is has been physically active for most of their life, when they were in elementary school and high school, they did football, soccer, etc., and they want to continue, and they haven't had any major injuries yet, and they want to continue into college and university, would you say that it's a good idea to perhaps for them to begin consulting with an athletic therapist as a preventative? No, let me rephrase the question. Prevention.
When should they start seeing someone that offers care like you do?
So there will always be an athletic therapist present at very high level sports. So any AAA or Division I level sport, it's a rule. You have to have an athletic therapist there. So most of these kids have started working with athletic therapists. Actually, when I started working as an athletic therapist, I was working